What's up, guys? Hope your week is wrapping up nicely. Weather in State College has been about bipolar as my ex, but my semester has been going pretty great so far. Can't complain. About only a month left to school or so before break. Can't wait to finally get back home and see my family, my Philly friends, whatnot. I've actually been so busy, I haven't had the time to get an episode out until now, so I'm honestly ecstatic to finally get back to it. This podcast is sponsored by Young Hustler Coffee. If you've seen my Insta story, you've seen I've been promoting the absolute crap out of it, and that's because it's really good coffee made for a grinding mentality, just like us entrepreneurs and college students. Straight out of Houston, Texas, there are many types of flavors you can get. My personal favorite is Piña Blanca, which comes with many different natural ingredients, and it's all simply amazing. What is even better is you don't really need any cream or sweetener to enhance the taste. It comes perfectly made without needing anything else whatsoever. You can all use my promo code Sean Boyle to save 10% off of your order. And the guest on the podcast is my longtime friend, Kayum Bello. Q is a bio major looking to go to medical school to become a physician when it's all said and done. Me and him shoot the breeze and mainly focus on his new business, Cofer Financial. Thanks everyone for the support. It means the world to me, and enjoy. Little Greg, you see the muscles? No, dude, you know what's so funny is I was you ever heard of hash flare?
What?
Hash flare? It's Bitcoin mining.
No, I don't know.
So basically, you put in, like, let's say, however much money you want, and you'll get a speed of, 1 terahash. I think, like, when I bought it was like, hold on a second. 3, 2, 1. All right, we're live. Basically, what you do is that you put, let's say $150 in, and you get 1 terahash. And with that, with Bitcoin going up and such, you'll get, I want to say, I think my portfolio was like $1,200 after it was all said and done, but it turned out to be a scam.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm in the process right now of actually contacting Bryn Mawr Trust, which is I put the 150 via my bank account with Bryn Mawr Trust. And
what was the name of the company?
Hashflare. Hashflare.io. Complete bogus.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. And someone who's always trying to make money, Ryan Beaver, who's probably gonna listen to this, he's like real big on Bitcoin, and I'm still big on Bitcoin. I'm not out of it yet,
You know, I tried getting into Bitcoin, but then I came to a realization that, like, it's something you really, really have to know. Because if you don't know, if there's something you don't know, like, you can literally just mess up everything.
Dude, I know, and it's so young. I had everybody and their mom telling me, it's a scam, don't do it, no.
What, Bitcoins?
Yeah, and just cryptocurrency in general. I was like, guys, give it a chance.
That's definitely the future, though.
It's definitely the future. I just think it's going to be really... It's so young, like anything.
Yeah, it is young, but it's a growing market for sure.
Yeah, you what do you have invested? Do you have anything invested in the New York Stock Exchange?
With
like any like company like ETF stocks?
I don't really have anything invested, but I do definitely that's something I want to get into. But
yeah, I was gonna say, tell me this new thing about Cofer that you're working on.
Yeah, actually, it's first of all, I just want to start for like thanks for having me on your podcast. That's number one.
Yeah, of course, bro.
It's a great opportunity, you know.
Yeah, you know I got mad love for you. I haven't done one of these in forever, so I just wanted to take the time because we both have time now. So you have something big. So,
Yeah. Like,
when did you start? Because I first saw it, I saw at the beginning of the year you're doing like a lot of other businesses, and then Cofer really took off as like your main thing. Where
yeah, but see, actually, I wasn't even the one who came up with the idea. I actually got brought on into the team. I have a friend of mine. He's he actually goes to University of Delaware, and that's where I'm originally from. So, and he hits me up. He tells me he has this idea, and he has this group of people. We are all hardworking with different people with different talents, and he brought them together. And he was like, "Yo, I have this idea that I really think it could really impact society and really change, like, how our generation feels about something very important, which is like finance." And I'm like, "Okay, let me hear about it." And he tells me that, like, growing up in life, like, there's a lot of things that you learn, and you grow up, you learn, you realize, oh, you need to start doing this and this to think about your, like, your financial future.
Right.
And he brings up ideas of how, like, a lot of younger kids, like, even people our age, like, from age, like, let's say 16 to even 25, like, They don't know anything about financing. They don't know
anything.
Once they realize that, like, oh, okay, I'm graduating college. I'm about to go into the home world. I don't have my parents backing me anymore.
Exactly.
What am I going to do? And I'm like, yo, I mean, he has a really interesting point there. Like, how can we help these kids from, like, age 16 to age 25 or whenever, like, you really need to go out there and start really working on your finances and things like that? How can we help you to go out there and be in the real world and be financially comfortable, to know what's going on, to learn about, like, credit and tax and, like, many more and stuff like that? So that's basically what Cofer Financial is about, you know?
And basically, if I want to go and, like, follow them, like, you have a website, right? CoferFinancial.com?
Yep. Yeah, we have a website. It's www.coferfinancial.com. You can definitely go on there and, like, learn more about us. We also have social media also.
Yeah, on Instagram. I follow you guys as well. You guys, who's your designer? Because I was actually trying to get him for my podcast because he's amazing. I love, like...
Yeah, he does a great job. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of hard-working, talented people on our team. But, yeah, maybe after the podcast, I can
get in touch with him
and get you hook you up.
Yeah, no, but it's, you know, it's one of those things because everybody leans on their parents for the most part. Yeah. People work, obviously. I work, you work. But it's not enough. I mean, to be honest with you, I was really blessed because my dad was a financial advisor and he really took the time to sit me down and tell me, like, his game plan of when he was a kid and he first learned about stocks and trading and investing your money and spending, you know, wisely and this whole thing. And it really grew in my mind is when I was in high school, you know, I'm going to really need some money when I get out of college because to pay off loans, to get, you know, like, just my whole living situation, because I'm probably going to live back with my parents right when I graduate, and then I want to find an apartment. But for 6 months, you know, I mean, listen, I'd be really fortunate to have a job. I'm working at a great marketing agency at Momentum Digital right now. Okay. I want to stay there when I graduate because I love the people there. The pay is amazing, and it's a great experience for me. But who knows? You know, I don't know. The job market's so scarce. We could have a economic, you know, meltdown right now, and the Dow could shoot down to 10,000.
Could definitely affect a lot of people.
Exactly. So I really want to, you know, just if there's going to be something like that, I want to be prepared. And that just went through my mind in high school. I started saving up, putting money in good ETFs, exchange-traded funds.
When in high school did you start doing that, if your mommy asked you?
No, of course. So junior year, I really, that's when I made moves. I took about, about $5,000 that I saved up through working and caddying. Caddying at White Marsh Valley Country Club in particular. I woke up 6 a.m. Freshman year, sophomore year of high school in the summers, of course. And I carried two bags and I did, I want to say, two or three rounds. So it was like, I want to say, 36 holes, 40 or 54 holes in a day. If my math is correct, and it was, you know, it was hard work, but I get paid handsomely with that. I tried to be frugal with my money. I tried to put it where I, you know, not going out as much, not buying really nice clothes, you know, buying the clothes I needed, buying the stuff that I needed, not that I wanted, where it's just people are spending thousands of dollars like on stuff they don't need, and they could be putting their money towards investing and stuff. So finally, junior year came, and I asked my dad, I'm like, okay, I have money. Now, what do I want to invest in? And he's like, ETFs immediately. And I'm like, why? Why can't I just put my money in, you know, Apple or Amazon or Nike? And he's like, what you want to do is the ETFs are mixed with hundreds of stocks. Apple, you know, I could go on Microsoft. The ETF I have right now, Vanguard, the VIG, the Vanguard Index Appreciation Fund. It's about $110 right now, and it encompasses like Pepsi, I want to say, Microsoft, I already mentioned, and a bunch of others, really successful companies that have been around for, you know, a decade at least, and they've had a proven track record, I should say. So it's, you know, it was a no-brainer for me when it came time to really invest. Like, why would I put money in something that it's only a singular company? Why can't I have a blend of that? So, you know, one company that goes down a day, I'm going to lose money in a day. One company goes down, a bunch of them go up. It's just, it's my head is just logically thinking. That's what really, I was a stupid, you know, 15, 16 year old kid at this time. But that's what my mind is.
That's, and just not stupid at all.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's really what it was.
Yeah. See, you know, I'm glad to see that you you came from a good background, because a lot of kids at that age were definitely thinking completely different than where you were doing.
100%.
Like, you had a great start. Like, honestly, like, I'm sure, like, from now on, like, you have a financial future that it's steady and you don't have anything to worry about, maybe. Yeah. But I'm actually glad you brought that up, because that has a lot to do with corporate financial. And because you mentioned that you in high school and like you saved up money and things like that, and now you realize, oh, I have all this money, what can I do with it and how can I make more? You know what I'm saying? And that's what really COFR is we want to teach people how to make more money, save money, and also invest their money. And you know, people are at that young age, they don't really know what to do with their money other than like spend it on like the trendy things that like their age group wants to do and things like that. Which is kind of understandable, you know, at the young age, they don't really have that much responsibility, and that's really all they want to think about. But we as COFR Financial, we're trying to get more people to have the same mindset that you had when you were younger, you know?
Exactly.
We want them to teach them, like, financial literacy. We want to teach them why it's important. We want to teach them, like I mentioned, how to save, how to invest, and how to, you know, spend their money wisely. And the biggest problem that we notice here in COFR Financial is that a lot of this concept, when it comes to money, it's actually really hard for them to understand.
Of course.
And because the concept is so challenging, it's either they back away from it, or the other problem is that they don't realize how important it's going to be for them in the future. Like, your dad telling you, like, here, this and this, like, you have this money, you want to invest in this, and you're like, why? Like, what's going on? Why don't I do this? But see, your father, he probably experienced those challenges younger on, so he's trying to pass those knowledge to his kids.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in our generation today, a lot of parents, they don't really teach their kids a lot of this stuff, because they don't feel, they may feel that, like, they're not ready to learn. And, well, it's the exact opposite. Like, we need to start teaching them now at a young age, so once they grow older, they will know what to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I was extremely blessed. I keep saying that, and you know, majority of the people, kids, aren't, you know, their parents aren't financially literate. So how are their kids going to be,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
So it's something that I think is really important. It's as a good base for anybody who is growing up and going to college, especially because, you know, Penn State, you know, the tuition is crazy. And Drexel, like, you're paying $70 a year for a good program, but end of the day, you still got to pay back those loans. You still have to build. Like, it's whatever you want to do, right? Like, for me, I want to make a really big impact on society. And, you know, if money comes along with that, awesome. I could care less about the money. I really just care about creating value for people and making their dreams come true. That's what really fuels me when I wake up in the morning. But that's why I have so much respect for you and, you know, all of your friends in University of Delaware for creating this, because you can, like, you have such a, you know, fundamental base of making, you know, a resume and like, what are the other stuff? Like, if I hit up COFR right now, like, what can you guys tell me? What can you guys give me? What information is just
we are so vast in many things that we want to help, like, the younger folks, you know, like, professionally, like, be advanced in their life. Like, not even just finances, like, even with, like, job interviews and resumes. We actually also have this campaign,
yeah, real life stuff. Yeah,
yeah. We have this campaign going on where you can send in your resume to us, and we can fix it for you. We can buff it up for you, make it look very professional. So like, when you go with that job interview, and you give it to the interviewee, they're like, "Wow, okay." They see what you're doing. Like, especially at a young age, think about going in at a young age, and they see how you have a very professional resume, like those who are in grad school, like their type of resumes, the way it looks like, they'll be very impressed, you know?
Yeah, you stand out.
You stand out. You have a mental knowledge way advanced than the people in your age group. So that's where COFR Financial comes in. We want to help with a lot of things like that. We have, actually, one thing we have huge coming up, we have an ebook coming soon. And the ebook has a lot of information, and that's going to help a lot of younger kids from like age 16 to 23, as I mentioned before, to teach them a lot about financial literacy, like with how to do taxing, when to do taxing, how to take advantage of it, because there's a lot of money in taxing, especially with tax returns. A lot of people don't know that. Like a lot of kids, they get their first job, they don't know that if they do tax return, they can make a lot of their money back. Even when it comes to credit and what type of credit company to go to, which one that works best for you, how to
so important
gain a good credit score.
Yeah.
Which is also very, very important in today's world. We need to engrave in the mindset of the youth and teach them the importance of credit score. Teach them the importance of why you need to have a credit score, especially once you like graduate college and you're on your own. You want to buy a house. You want to buy a car. You can't just go out there and just be like, "Hey, I want to buy this house."
So where do I get this ebook? Is it something that's like coming out?
Yeah,
like
it's in the works right now. So but if you want to figure out when the ebook comes out, definitely they can follow us on social media. We have a Twitter and Instagram. Our Instagram name and Twitter name is Kofor Financial.
DM me, a message, tweet you.
Yeah, don't be afraid to contact us. We have our link is on our Instagram bio and also on our Twitter bio. You can email us on there. Any questions, man? Like, if you need help with trying to apply for a job, trying to learn how to save money, trying to invest, trying to, you know, build up your net worth and things like that.
Exactly.
That's what we're here for. We're here to help the younger kids and stuff like that, you know?
It's so important. I mean, I can attest for me especially because I'm an interesting case because I come from, you know, not such a wealthy background, but my parents did okay for themselves. But the knowledge that they taught me to treat people the way they're supposed to be treated and just the whole thing about like just the golden rule and, you know, to save your money more on my dad's side. My mom was kind of just like the nurturing kind of woman who just, you know,
that makes sense.
Taught me. Yeah, like as always, it's how it should be or how it is. But the funny thing is I was an engineering major freshman year in Altoona. And I liked the classes. I thought it was good. I had a, 2.6 GPA. I'm like, even though I had a crappy GPA, I still liked the classes. But can I see myself doing this forever until I retire? No, I can't. So I started reading books about, you know, like Gary Vee, especially, big mentor, Tony Robbins. And my boss, Mac Frederick, especially, who worked at Google. He went to Penn State. And the whole entrepreneur mindset, I feel like kids get, you know, and let me make a big point of view is like my buddy Chris Andreola and Stefano Iolapang and you, for instance, you guys need to have a certain GPA to get into med school, to get in these other programs, to, you know, become doctors, become physician's assistants and all these other good things. But for me, since I already have, you know, a part-time job, I'm already looking to just get as much experience as I can. I mean, I already applied for another internship just on the side. Like I'm like a partnership, like I'm doing with Young Hustler. That's really what I think people should be focused on instead of just like getting the GPA. And I'm not saying to kids, you shouldn't study. That's not what I'm saying. You should try to get as much experience in your field as possible. I think that kids nowadays weigh too heavily on, oh, I need to get the GPA. When in reality, you're going to have a kid that comes in with a 3.4, 3.3, not the best GPA, but with good solid experience. They're going to get the job 9 times out of 10 with the, you know, against a candidate who is a 3.9, 3.8, 4.0 even, but like doesn't really have that much experience.
I can see where you're coming from. But if there's one thing I would add to that, I would say that there's a lot of people who interviews others and they see that, okay, there's this kid who has a 3.4 GPA, but he has a lot of an experience, but this kid, he has a 4.0 GPA, but he has no experience. So you're like, okay, so who do I choose? He's really smart. You can tell that he works hard academically. And this guy, he has an average GPA, and he has a lot of experience. Who should I hire? But in that position, the only advice I would give to young kids or even kids in my age, I would say put your hands in more than one basket. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? Like
being well-rounded.
Be very well-rounded. My family always tells me that to be successful in life, you should always have more than one income. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
it's the goal, man.
A lot of
real estate, stocks.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people go to college and get the degree in whatever they get it in, and they just strictly focus on that. Which there's nothing wrong with that, of course. If you really work on you go to college for 4 years. I'm sure you worked hard on it.
Yeah.
But why don't you just expand? You know, challenge yourself. Try to hit the next wall and try to see what else can I put my hands in, where else can I do this to, you know, further my future and even like those around me and my family and stuff like that.
And dude, college isn't for everyone. Like, I'll give a perfect example. That is
very true.
Like, my younger brother, Ryan, he's, 19 years old. He's going to be 20 this June. And I couldn't be more proud of the kid. He actually got promoted, you know, multiple times at this point. He started off in construction. And now he's an officer in one of his boss's side companies. And pretty soon he's probably going to own the thing.
Really?
I'm actually having a podcast with Peter, the CEO and president, and a bunch of other really top officers. John Todd, he's going to moderate it. He's going to live with me over winter break for a week, and we're going to get that done. It's going to be a really exciting project. But he's one of those things where he, come high school, there was no motivation. And Ryan, he's listening to this. He's like, oh my God, you're talking smack at me. He's going to hate me. But, you know, I would see him in the car. I was driving. My mom was driving. He was just sleeping. He wouldn't get up. He wouldn't just, you know, study at all, do his homework. He wasn't passionate about it. Now he's waking up at 5:30, not even on just his work days, but every single day on the weekends, just grinding, trying to better himself, going to the gym. You know, he has a wonderful girlfriend, Caroline, who actually goes here. She's a freshman. She's awesome, very beautiful, and just really fun to talk to. Great personality, and it's one of those things where I couldn't see him doing any better in college because that's not his fit. His fit right now is doing a job that he loves and growing from that, because getting a degree wasn't for him, and that's just how it is. Another good example is my dad's friend John Lunston, who is a multimillionaire in Philadelphia, fixes houses. And he's just one of those guys where he would go into a classroom and he would cringe immediately. He just hated being in that because that wasn't a good environment for him.
Mm.
And, you know, just I always preach about trying to be an entrepreneur, trying to, you know, gain yourself your net worth and your spiritual worth and your, you know, mindset and just being your own person and gaining, you know, good knowledge and being a good person, you know, gaining financial literacy and one day just, you know, just combining all of that, man, it's so important just to really just have a self individualistic mindset. It's so important. And kids, you know, like, don't get me wrong, people love the party, all this kind of stuff, that's awesome. Me and you both, like, we definitely had our fair times where we should probably go out instead of grind, but that's what we love to do, man. We're hustlers. We love to do this because we know it's going to pay off at the end. There's going to be a good dividend, and that's why we do it. Honestly.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the fact about how college is not for everybody, and I really agree with that, only because a close friend of mine, he unfortunately, like, he was he dropped out of college because he just couldn't do it. Like, it just wasn't
for him. It happens, man.
And he said to me, he was like, yo, like, honestly, like, it was really hard for me to, like, let you know, like, this is what's happening in my life right now, because, like, I see you're working so hard, like, you're being successful in school and you're doing your own thing. And I'm like, dude, man, like, college is not, and I told him straight up, like, college is not for everybody, you know? If you drop out of college, like, I would never look at anybody differently if you drop out of college. Nah. You know why? The only reason is because some of the top, like, five most successful people in the world, on Forbes list, they don't have a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of Harvard.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Microsoft guy, what's his name?
Bill Gates, yeah.
Bill Gates,
he dropped out too.
I'm pretty sure he dropped out too. But my point is that, like, if you drop out of college, the only thing that I will look at you differently is if you drop out and you don't do anything with your life.
Exactly. Or you drop out because, oh, this is too hard and I just don't want to do the work.
No, sometimes stuff is too hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, here's the thing. It's not too hard if you really give your honest 100% effort, which I feel like so many kids don't. Then if you come to me and say, Sean, I've been working my butt off, I 100%, and it's not for me. I can't find myself in being a bio major, being a chem major, you know, doing marketing. I need to just drop out and find myself. I'm completely cool with that. If you want to take a year off from high school, like, please do that. Please do not go into college not knowing what you want to do, wasting money. I can tell you, like, so many people, I was going to say, count the number of fingers on my hands, the amount of people, but double that, triple that. There's so many people that I know. And it's just tough because for me, being someone who's really financially literate, you are too, it's just, I really care for that person. I know, like, they're going to spend $5, $10, $15, even $20,000 on education that they didn't even complete, that they didn't even get.
See, this is why Code for Financial is so important. We need younger kids our age to really understand the importance of money, to understand to understand like the vast idea of it, to understand how what you do now in the long run will really, really help you in the future. Exactly. You know? We need them to, that's why, and one thing I wanted to mention is the number one aspect that makes Kofor Financial so special and makes it stand out from other companies is that, you know how I mentioned how like this like financial literacy and finance, the concept as a whole, yeah, it's so challenging for people to understand that we as Kofor, we make it easier for you. Mm. Like the ebook that I mentioned, we're bringing the ideas that's so challenging for people to understand, but we're explaining it to you at a seventh grade reading level.
Yeah, to where you could really comprehend it.
Think about if you can understand about crediting at a seventh grade reading level. Everything will be so much easier for people to understand where, yeah, they can start taking advantage of like cashback percentages and credit score, how to spend your money, when to like learn about APRs and things like that.
You guys talk about real estate too?
With Kofor?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really like go deep into real estate, yeah, but like when it comes to the finances of it, definitely we
just
can
like the basics, okay, yeah,
like literally what's the saying that people say is I don't even remember how the saying goes, but like literally everything around the world always has something to do with money.
Mm-hmm.
Has something to do with financing, and if you learn how to control it, everything will work well for you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So like there's a lot of people who is in debt and they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Kofor, we can help you. There's a lot of people who wants to learn how to make money. Come to Kofor, we can help you. Like you, you worked hard when you were younger, you had money, and you wanted to realize what to do with it. Come to Kofor, we'll help you. We give you ideas. We teach you how to use your money, control your money, learn how to spend your money, invest your money, and things like that. This is why Kofor is so important. I really believe that this is a company that will really impact this generation and the next generation to come. We want to let parents know, like, to literally, like, encourage their kids to, like, interact with Kofor more, you know what I'm saying? So they can learn more about, like, their future and finances and things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. When you were younger and your parents came up to you, maybe, like, for the first time they talked to you about money, like, what was your mindset? Did you feel like, oh, man, I don't really care, like, I want to go do other stuff, or, like...
So my first instinct, and I was a really mature kid. I always feel like I'm a lot, you know, mature minded than the average person in our grade.
Okay.
So for me, my first instinct was it was important, and it's always going to, you know, money is always going to be there. It's always going to be there. But something that I think that really helped me in getting my success right now is, especially in sales, because sales is, you're going to find out if you haven't already, it's a really hard job. You cannot be sensitive when it comes to sales. And at a young age, when my parents first approached me, I thought about, you know, what I need to make money, but how, like, what's the trade-off? And I've heard a lot of people, you know, getting ripped off from, you know, car dealerships and, you know, all these like hacking scams, like with Bitcoin, and the list goes on and on. My point is, what am I going to provide for them value-wise? Like lemonade stands. I did that when I was a kid. I in the winters, I shoveled snow and I did this, I did that. And that's the first thing that really came to my mind when, like, because I know, you know, to buy this nice equipment, to buy clothes, to buy this nice suit, you're going to need money. But end of the day, it's the value and the connections that really help you. And that in itself brings you the money. People refer you to different people and they become clients. So at a young age, that was really my mindset, is I'm really interested in it. I don't know really anything about it, but I know that money, if I get too consumed with money, I'm going to be greedy and I'm not going to really care about people. I'm going to be a really horrible person inside and I'm not going to like myself. I'm not going to, for not one second, I try to be a person where I'm very ignorant and I'm just like, oh, I have this so much money and all this kind of stuff. No, I want to help people. And that's where I feel people get really, like when people watch these videos and people look up to anybody successful, they hate, because it's like, why do you have that? It's like, I have this because, first of all, I was blessed. And second of all, I actually took the time to learn and read books and watch videos. I can't tell you how many countless hours I spent, you know, doing real estate and watching real estate videos and investment videos and all this kind of stuff. It's countless hours, dude. Countless hours. And it's just over time it builds up, and that's what I really want to help. Is my first inclination with money was really to help with people, and not many people can say that because everybody wants to go just see the dollar signs and run off. But I know the evil with money. I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've seen it with drugs. I've seen it, and it's, you know, there is a huge meaning behind the root of all evil is with money. Yes. And I've seen that firsthand. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
That's really amazing, though, honestly. Like, there's very little percentage of people that's like that. I know personally for me, when I was younger, I was not like that. I it wasn't that I didn't really care about the importance of money. It was more that, like, I didn't understand it. I didn't really grasp my mind around it. I didn't really understand how it would affect me in the future. And, like I said, most parents, they don't really understand the importance for them to teach their kid at a young age, because
don't know anything.
They may realize that they may realize that oh, maybe when the time comes they can learn it themselves. But you know, it's always important to teach them at a very young age so they can. It's always better. Like, knowledge is power. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Like,
it's very
for
important.
Me personally, like my family never really taught me much about like crediting and taxing and things like that. And until like I started, like, you know, start doing my own research and start going out there, and also like not even to be afraid of, to like talk to my mom, like, yo, mom, when you first got your credit card, like, what did you do, this blah blah blah, and this and that. And you know, she showed me all her, like, all her billings, all things like that. And yeah, and I learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
And from your story, like the mindset that you had at a young age, I find it really interesting, because I remember one, I was watching an interview of Warren Buffett. You know who Warren Buffett is, right?
Yeah.
Financial genius. He's an amazing guy. At a very young age, he started saving his money.
Yeah.
And then he says how he will go to school, and all the kids his age would wear like the coolest clothes, the newest clothes, where he'll be making his money, but he'll be saving it.
Mm-hmm.
But he would just look like a regular kid. Like, he didn't really have the newest toys and, like, things
exactly.
like that. And then he would get older and older. His money started growing and growing and growing. And then he realized, like, okay, I have $100. What can I do to make that $100 and turn it into $200?
Exactly.
So he started doing his own research. And mind you, this is at a very, very young age.
Yeah.
He was very mentally mature. And then he started investing. And started making money. Now look at Warren Buffett now.
Billions.
He's a billionaire. Like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy how he, right now, he's a billionaire. And he doesn't even have a Lamborghini. He doesn't own a Rolls Royce. He drives a regular Toyota.
Just a normal Nebraska guy.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
That's just amazing to me. Like, you know, that's why Kofor is here. If we can really engrave in the minds of the youth, and really teach them the importance of money and make them understand it the way like Warren Buffett did. Think about how all their accomplishments and the advancements they can have in their life.
Yeah. And
just
that's
like
what
he did.
And the accomplishments and also, you know, knowing when to, like, how to be healthy with money and how to really be, you know, just, you have a mindset.
Be humble and simple minded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And be wise and, like, know, you know, when to spend it and not when to spend it. You know, it's so
and
true.
This is not to knock any fun. Like, If you work hard at something, definitely go out there and, like, spoil yourself. Like, you know,
yeah.
Go on vacation or something.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like...
Like, dude, when Conor McGregor fought, you know, Floyd, like, that's my boy. I'm Irish. He's Irish as gonna be. And when he was fighting Khabib, I saw the second. I was at Champs.
Was that the recent fight?
Yeah, yeah, it was October 6th.
I didn't get to watch it.
It was crazy because I literally went to Champs with all my boys. I had my Irish flag on. I was ready to go. But as soon as he came out, and I saw the look in his eyes. The first second he was on the screen when he walked out, I could tell he wasn't winning that fight. And it wasn't because he didn't look good, wasn't because he didn't have the right, like, mindset or anything like that. He just, I think that his whiskey company and his business, that was taking up a lot of his time. And it's just, it sucks, dude.
So you think that all his other, like, business adventures that he was focused on was what affected his losing the fight?
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously his mindset is, like, a big thing. But, like, I think mentally he was focused. He was focused, but you have all this other stuff. I mean, it partially isn't in with your mindset. I said it wasn't, but yeah, it's your mindset. It's he's so big. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions. Not many people even get close to it, let alone, you know, 1 million. So to multiply that by 100 is incredible. And with him having his whiskey business, August X McGregor, like his suit brand, all this kind of stuff, all this PR, I think it's really hard to just be, especially in MMA, to be a traditional martial artist, get back to the foundation of just being zen, right? Before he won the belt against Jose Aldo, knocked him out in 13 seconds. You know, the mind is crazy because you could do anything. You can imagine anything. Yeah. But, dude, he just didn't look himself at all. He looked at it just like it was in other places. He was focused on other things. With the money aspect of it. I mean, for God's sake, he had proper 12 on the canvas, like on his whiskey thing. So he was all about that.
How much do you think he made that night?
Oh, dude, he made, let's see, Habib. So Conor's purse, I want to say the numbers are probably wrong. He made about 3 or 4 million. Habib's purse is about 2 or 3 million. Pay-per-view points, I want to say Conor probably walked out of there 20, 30, 40 million. Yeah, so it's not bad at all. But compared to boxing, it's like obviously you take boxing. But yeah, dude, he's the biggest star in UFC, and you know I really don't hope he blows it like all these other boxers do. And MMA fighters like Chuck Liddell, I hear that he's fighting Tito Ortiz right now for the third time.
You're naming all these people.
Yeah, honestly. I was gonna say, this is going right up through your head, bro.
I don't even know who they are because I don't really watch UFC like that. But
just nod to your head, be like, yeah, Sean, I know you're talking about.
But yeah, you mentioned all like the whiskey business and the suit business. That's a perfect example of him, like, you know, making his money from even one fight at a night and investing it.
Yeah. And he knows that fighting isn't going to be, he's one of the best fighters ever. And if you don't agree with that, then you're just silly. But he's one of the best fighters ever. But he has that mindset where, really, I'm going to retire, like, you know, my early 30s.
Yep.
So to do that, okay, I'm going to be at the top of the sport. But like, okay, what do I do after that? Oh, this marketing scheme. I'm Irish. I love whiskey. That's what he loves to do. So, okay, I'm going to do this. I love to talk and promote my message. I'm going to do a podcast. You love finance and really love helping kids with finance. You're going to start Cooper Financial with your buddies in the University of Delaware. So it's one of those things you really love. If you love what you do, it's not like work. And the paycheck's going to come. So it's just, it's constantly grinding. It's constantly doing all these good things. And, you know, it's boring to some, you know, point, because you just do the same thing over and over and over again with no results. And you're like, why am I doing this? This sucks. Oh my God, I'm not making any money. Like, I give you an example. I lost about $800 in the stock market, also because I had to spend a couple $100 on my Barcelona ticket for spring break. But the market was down, you know, thousands of points. And I was like, man, this sucks. But I have faith because I know, end of the day, I have a good, you know, chunk of change saved up, and I'll be fine. I didn't sell any of my stocks. I just, you know, stayed the course and we're good.
So you mentioned that you lost $800 on your stock investment.
Yeah.
Did you, I'm sure that hurt.
Yeah, of course it hurt.
But did you feel that, did it stop you from going out there and investing?
Of course not. Exactly. You can never be afraid to fail. Like,
see, the reason why I asked you that question is because I want like other people our age to understand that you're a college student and you lost $800. Now, like, obviously we go to Penn State here and there's 40,000 kids out there. There's at least 35,000 kids out there. If they lost $800, they will feel like it's the end of the world for them.
Exactly.
That's why I want them to understand, like, investing and, like, saving your money, and, like, you losing $800, like, yeah, it might hurt, but, like, you can always easily move back and bounce back and make twice.
Exactly. Because I know whenever I invest something, I always consider it lost money, right? So, especially with cryptocurrency, when I actually did lose money, it's like, okay, I think I had like $500 in all of my crypto investments. I'm like, and I talked to Ryan Beaver about this. Me and him had the same mindset. Okay, this is lost money. Like, if we lose $500, we lose $500. Like, but you can never be afraid to fail. Like, all the great ones, you need to take it. You need to risk it for the biscuit. You need, like, all those cheesy things, they're so true. Because if you don't have balls and you don't have the mindset where, okay, I'm going to lose this money, whatever, you know, you're never going to accomplish your dreams. No one ever did anything great by just playing it safe, by just,
you know, it's funny you said that, because I was watching a video and LeBron James said that you know how he left Cleveland, he went to Miami
because
he wanted to win a championship so bad. And the first year they went there, everybody thought, oh, LeBron James is about to win. I mean, he has D-Wade with him, he has Chris Bosh, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, and they were like, yo, how did you feel about that? You know what he said? He was like, failing that game series was my greatest achievement. And everybody just looked at him like, how is that your greatest achievement? And he said that because after he lost that game, he's like, he went back, he talked to himself. He was like, dude, I just failed. Like, I worked so hard and I got miserably. There. And I'm like, and then he looked at it in a way that like, this is my greatest achievement. In a way that I learned so much from this failure that next time that I go at it again, I'm not going to repeat my mistake again.
Yeah, you learn from your mistakes.
So. You always like...
Always.
It's important for you to fall down so you can get back up.
Yeah.
If you don't fall down, you keep going, there's some point in your life where something's going to hit you so hard, you're not going to know what to do with it, you know?
Exactly. And so, I would argue that like learning from your mistake is just as important as making that mistake. Because if you make definitely. The mistake and don't learn from it, and you keep falling into that trap, it's like, man, like one of these times I got to learn what's going on here and how I screwed up.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is really important. Good example is, you know, like a lot of people know, like my good buddies know, and I'm not really open with this about my dad and how, you know, his whole situation, but and I don't really have any problem telling it. I really use it as an inspirational thing. But he's been incarcerated now for, I want to say, about 2 years in a camp, not like one of those big prisons with cells and whatnot. No, it's a camp. There's a, you know, softball field, and he's allowed to walk in and lift weights and do all this awesome stuff.
How do you know that? Well, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean it's a camp? Like,
so a camp basically is the lowest form of security you can have for a prison, quote unquote. Hmm. So right now he's in FCI McKean, which is about 2 hours from Penn State. And when you go there, you're going to see immediately the medium prison with all these barbed wires and stuff. And I'm like, this isn't it. So I make a left. I go up to the softball field. I park my car. There's about 5 cars there. This is the first time I was ever there. And I go there, and there's a softball field. There's a wall ball. And, you know, he was in a camp. And or not a camp. It was not a medium, but it was a little higher up than a camp in New Jersey. And I had to register my car. I had to sign in. When I went in the front door, I just had to sign a piece of paper, and I was able to just see him. I had to show my ID, and that was it. So it's really, it's you can look online, and it's nothing to worry about at all. He teaches investment classes. He actually had a class with University of Pittsburgh Johnstown, wow. Crisis management, and he's in this RDEP program, drug rehabilitation, and he struggled with that. But you know what? Even though he's currently in there, and he's like right now he's the drug class knocked him off 1 year, right? So he's was going to be out 2022, now 2021. If his appeal, because there's a whole situation, I could get into that. I don't want to get into that on this podcast, but he could be out next summer. Not this summer coming up, but next one after that. So right when I graduate, he's still going to see my graduation, which is going to be pretty cool.
That's
there's
awesome.
There's a thing, I forget what it's called, but you get a pardon and you can, you know, go.
Oh, really?
I can actually pick him up.
That'll be amazing.
Yeah, it's cool too, because yeah. Whenever I leave, I drive past and he always walks the trail, like, so I could literally, if he wanted to, he could literally hop in my Ford Taurus and we could take off. But the end of the story with that is I don't let that bother me, because I've been through a lot worse in my life than that, if you can believe that. So I'm no stranger to failure at all in life, and so I'm quite used to it, actually. And I feel like getting beat down to where you're literally nothing and you think you're nothing and coming back from that, it's one of the most powerful things. I thank God that I've had those opportunities.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, a weaker man, a lesser man than me, would have crumbled under that situation. So I'm happy. I'm content with this situation, you know. And just to put everything in retrospect, you doing your thing with Kofor, me doing this podcast, and us building it and growing, it's so awesome, because we give people knowledge, and that's what it's all about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really powerful.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But really not much else to say. I'm freaking exhausted, dude. I'm so tired. But you got a chem test or physics, right? 251?
Yeah, man. I had a physics exam today.
We went hard, dude.
Dude, like, I haven't, like, slept in, honestly, like, 3 days.
That's crazy.
But like I said, man, you got to do what you got to do to be successful in life, you know?
Yeah, of course. I know that. I'm actually gonna go.
There's a lot of things you gotta give up to make it, you know. But
yeah, that's true. It's everything
worth it at the end.
Everything in moderation, but yeah, to get where you want to go, when you're young, you need to sacrifice a lot. Man, that sounded pretty good. That sounded good, man. We were really in it for a second. That's awesome. But that's good talk. You know what I mean? Like, to be true and we don't put any persona on, like, for this podcast, and so it's all real.
Yeah, it was a great talk, actually.
Yeah, it's good. Podcast, you know, podcast, that's always, I'd always have a good conversation with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to ask you, so 10 years from now, 10, 15 years, where do you see Kofor?
Wow, that's a great question. Honestly, 10 years from now, like, I want it, for me personally, like, aside from, like, the success of Kofor and, like, the net worth it might be able to build, what I really want to see Kofor do is impact a generation full of kids. Mm-hmm. I want to see the poverty rate to just go lower. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to see. There's a lot of, especially like different, cause like certain communities, like let's say maybe Chicago, that's a perfect example, where there's a lot of kids, you know, just like me, where luckily for me personally, like, I grew up in an amazing family and a great background in a, you know, suburban area with like, for like a lot of rich people, and like I had a good education, where there's other people out there who don't have the education, you know. In Chicago, like, I know they were about to shut down a lot of public schools and stuff like that, which I'm like, wow, like we need those, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's huge.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine, she's doing elementary education, and I always tell her that, like, I think that's one of the most important jobs, like, period. Like, I think it's as important as engineering, as important as doctors out there, because they're the one teaching the youth, and they're the one advancing the youth to become the next generation of what the world is going to be like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to bring that all around, like, in Chicago, like, there's a lot of people who don't know about money. They just don't have anything to live a normal life.
Yeah.
Which is what Kofor really is. We want to help you get financially stable to help you live a normal life, and with people in Chicago are not able to live in a normal life. And this isn't a lot of like black communities. You know what I'm saying? With them not having like the financial like stability and things like that, that's where crime goes up. You know what, yeah, I'm saying? That's when like people start stealing other people's stuff, people start murdering other people. And I mean, like, a lot of people say this is where politics come in, and I'm personally not really into politics, you know what I'm saying?
I don't believe in political parties.
Yeah, I don't really like to get into stuff like that, but knowledge is power, man. Like, we need to go out there and like teach these kids. Like, there's a lot of us who don't really understand how fortunate we are out in, like, in the ways we grow up in. And, I mean, Kofor, 10 years from now, I want to see them impact a generational full of kids. I want to see kids understand financial concepts and have financial literacy. And, that's definitely something I want to see. Yeah. It would really make me and my team happy to see that Wolfridge started has helped a generation full of kids, you know?
Yeah, that's what it all is about, you know? Same thing with me. Same thing with a lot of other people that we're going to meet, and it's just a matter of time. We got to keep grinding, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, dude, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for Kofor Financial for giving me this opportunity to promote you guys.
We're going to do big things.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, definitely I'll drop their links below. They'll check you out. There's a bunch of content you got to watch. It's amazing, of University of Delaware and what they're doing up there. There's a survey you can fill out too. The ebook's coming.
Yes, so, that's actually very important. I forgot to mention that. But we also have a survey. We're actually, just go on our social media. There's a link on there. Click on the link and just fill out a survey. And also, we also have plenty of things comes up. We have a lot of events. You can go on our social media. We talk about that. There's videos, different ways you can interact with us and stuff like that. And we also have like giveaways. If you just maybe fill out certain surveys and like you do different stuff that we may put on our social medias and things like that, we have a lot of cool giveaways, man. Like,
yeah, hell yeah.
Definitely. So like, follow us on social media. It's at Kofor, KOFFER Financial. And yeah, you learn a lot. It wouldn't hurt. Just click the follow button.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, dude, I can't thank you enough for that. That was awesome.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. With that, guys, we'll catch you on the next one. Hope you got some good knowledge with that. Obviously, if you have any questions, DM me. Shoot him a DM as well. Check them out. And catch you on the next one. Peace.
Dope, son.